I had everything. I had money, fame, glory, good looks. I had it all. Everything that a man would ever want.
Good looks is subjective, sir.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But still, I had everything, but yet it didn't mean nothing. I wanted to die on a daily basis.
Many people, they make these assumptions and they connect weird things to religion.
And at this point, I'd never begged or cried to God to help me before. I'd prayed a lot all my life, but I'd never been in this physical state before. I could feel tears running down my face. This is the
Dean Show. Assalamualaikum, guys. Greetings of peace. How are you doing? How are you doing? We got an exciting episode for you, as always. Alhamdulillah. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit the notification bell to get a new and exciting episode sent to you on a regular basis. My good friends in the studio, Dr. Lawrence Brown. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
How you been?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Good.
Good, good. It's good to have you back on the program.
Good to be back. Good to be back in Chicago.
Yeah. I'm going to let this video play off, and then we're going to go ahead and react to this.
How did you realize that you had mental health issues? What was it exactly? Because I got anxiety, PTSD.
Yeah. Anxiety started to come heavily. I always suffered with depression. Mm. When I was on top of the world, it became more and more and more depressed, until it was like suicidal thoughts and stuff like that.
People would assume that you had the money, you had the belts.
I had everything. I had money, fame, glory, good looks. I had it all. Everything that a man would ever want.
Good looks is subjective, sir.
I don't know about that. But still, I had everything, but yet it didn't mean nothing. I wanted to die on a daily basis. Mm. So material goods are only good for when things are going right in your life. When everything's rolling good and everything's happy, then material goods are okay. But you can have everything in the world and feel like shit on a daily basis, mm-hmm. because no one can see inside the mind.
For those that don't know, this is one of the most talked about individuals at the moment, because he's got a big fight coming up. He's, I believe he's an undefeated heavyweight champion. He won, retired, and then life just went... You know, you would think now you're the heavyweight champion of the world. Life is good now. You could retire, but this is what happens.
I just think about how so many people feel an emptiness in their lives. And that's whether you're rich or poor, whether you're unknown or famous. Whatever your state in life is, there are so many people who feel an emptiness, a hole that they... just can't fill, and it's a spiritual void. It's a spiritual void, and it cannot be filled by materialism. And you know, we hear this over and over again. What we just saw, and we see it on a daily basis, because almost everybody is in a store on a daily basis, and they're checking out, and they're seeing those celebrity magazines at the checkout counter. And there's always somebody who's decompensating, somebody in a crisis, somebody going through, you know, something like this, you know. And it's so predictable that it's basically a cliche.
This is something that, if I'm going to read to you some of the statistics, you have some from the CDC and others talking about that suicide, not only is it taking the lives of someone every 12.3 minutes. Mm. Not only is it continuing to increase on a yearly basis, it also is affecting kids at a young age. This is what's staggering. It's the second leading cause of death. 10 leading cause of death in the U.S., but second leading cause of death for the age range between 10 and 34 years old. So every 12.3 minutes, someone in America is taking their life. Kids at the young age of between 10 and 34. It keeps climbing and climbing and climbing. And they say that, according to the CDC, 54% did not have mental health issues. So a lot of people, like he was stating, it was going back to mental. So there is a place yet, mental health, something that has to do with your current state of mind. We're talking more specifically a void. You mentioned a void in the heart, the soul. It's something tangible, but you can't touch that, feel that. how do you with put all of these things together to know which one where and where which way to go and how to deal with it?
You know, basically to answer that question, I have to fall back on my own personal experience and the experience of others who have gotten over this. And that's, you know, just kind of the universal solution is recognizing that you do not fill that void with things of this world. You do not achieve peace, satisfaction, contentment until you are satisfied spiritually. And so I think it was Loon, you know, the rapper Loon, who basically said that he got to a point in his life where he could have everything except peace. You know, he had everything except for peace. And so, you know, I went through this. A lot of other people have gone through this, where they think that having the big house, they think that having the car they want, they think that, they keep thinking about the material arrangements in life. But then when they get them, it satisfies them for a little while, but it's not lasting.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest thing to do is also kind of the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
And that is turning to your Creator and seeking the religion of truth, seeking the truth of the Creator, and doing so with a commitment to submit. You know, but a lot of people have a real hard time with that. They don't want to. You know, they're afraid of it. They're afraid it's going to take them places they don't want to go. And so they just cannot.
But usually you're in a place where you don't want to be. He didn't want to be here. So if people can imagine that, because this is the norm in our society, from the kids to the adults, they look up to people like this because he's got the radio, meaning that he's on the radio shows, the television shows, he's fighting on the big screen. Life is good. So this is, I like pointing these instances out so people can actually see the reality. So why am we showing this? Because you see someone like this, he's at the top of his game. He's at the top of life. He's at the pinnacle. And then what happens? He's young. He's not even reached his 30s, I believe. Before his 30s, he's done. He's accomplished his life dream. He's got money. He's got, like he said, I had everything you can want and imagine. And then what does he tell us? That he's thinking about suicide constantly. He's depressed. He's starting in a full state of despair. But now at the end they talk about that, okay, this is, so how do you distinct someone, just you hear mental health, so what do you, I mean, hold on, we're talking about a void in the heart. There's a spiritual void, right? CDC is saying that 54% of people who committed suicide, they had no signs or any signals or anything to do with mental health. So how do you, like, mental health versus, do you go towards dealing with, like, okay, you go to your doctor, you get things, and many of these people, they get the pills and they, from the doctor, they become addicted, right, to the painkillers. That opens up a whole new world. We're not saying that someone should not. Of course, you go to your medical professional, you do all that, but you're talking about something that people are like, it's over the head. Whew. But it's the remedy for most of these ills.
I mean, I've got to fall back on what I find in the Quran, which is the solution to me, and it's just clear.
You're getting all religious now, man.
Well, look, it's just where are you going to find the truth of your existence as a creation? Where are you going to find the answers better than what you find from the Creator? So you always go back to the source,
mm-hmm.
And you know, in any research, you always go back to the source. And the, you know, the source in the Islamic religion is the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the thing about the Quran is, yeah, okay, it's 1400 years old, but we know that it has not been changed one letter since the time of revelation, and it's the only scripture that bears that sanctity, that it's the only scripture that exists which has been unchanged from the time of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's it. But aside from that, I was just going to say that if you're taking the Quran as your book of guidance, Allah describes the things of this world as, in the translation of the meaning, He describes the things of this world as chattels of deception. And that's, you know, that basically says it all. These things are chattels of deception. They deceive us. And we're deceived into chasing after these things. And we're trading, you know, we're trading the, you know, the better for the worse. I mean, we could be concentrating on our spirituality. We could be concentrating on our relationship with our Creator. And instead, we're focusing on trying to get more money, trying to get more likes, trying to get more subscribers, you know. And I'm not saying those things are not satisfying or maybe even to some degree important, depending upon what your objective is, but I'm just saying that to fill that void within you, to feel a sense of purpose, to understand your purpose in this life, and to be satisfied with your Creator, and to not have this depression, to not be despairing, you get that from closeness to your Creator. You don't get it from amassing material things.
To go off that, it's interesting because while Tyson Fury, where he describes going through all of these traumatic instances and almost at one point, I don't know if he was in his Lamborghini Ferrari, one of the fast cars, almost hitting 200 miles close to, and that was it. He was about to run his car off the ditch, the road, and kill himself. Then he heard some kind of voice talking to him and kind of persuading him, you know, not to do it. And then something else happened. I'm going to show you, and then we'll take off, because it kind of links to what you're saying.
And at this point, I'd never begged or cried to God to help me before. I'd prayed a lot all my life, but I'd never been in this physical state before. I could feel tears running down my face. My chest was wet with tears, because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. It wasn't possible for me. Because I tried and tried and tried, and ended up back in the pub, back drinking. I almost accepted that was going to be my fate, an alcoholic. So I was on my knees in this bedroom, and after praying for about 10 minutes, I got up, and I felt the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. And for the first time in years, I knew I was going to make a comeback.
So this is the turning point. Now you're talking about the Creator. It seems like now a weight was lifted off his shoulders, where he sincerely, earnestly, he's turning to God. What do you think about what's your action when you hear him talking about this?
You know, the thing is with spiritual experiences like this, I've had them, a lot of believers have had them, and a lot of non-believers have not had them. And unless you've had that experience for yourself, it's very hard to translate. I know what he's talking about. I understand what he's talking about. I've felt it. You've probably felt it. A lot of other believers have felt it. But if your audience are disbelievers who are just kind of saying, I don't get it, I don't believe it, it hasn't happened to me, you know, it's very hard to translate that experience. I look at those experiences and I think that those are personal experiences. If God means good for a person, if Allah intends good for a person, he guides them to Islam. Now, you can believe that or not, but that's just simply the fact of the matter. And so what I've noticed so many times, so many people with these spiritual experiences, it's their awakening, it's their epiphany, it's their turning point, and it sets them on the path of discovery. And you know, that path, you know, frequently ends in them becoming Muslim, but it was a private thing. It was a private experience, and it's one you can't share any more than, you know, when I tell the spiritual experiences I've had to people who do not have that spiritual foundation. I mean, I can see the glaze over their eyes, the blankness on their face. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't have the mental / spiritual context. They don't have the state of the heart that allows them to understand the significance of that. So I look at it as a personal experience, and alhamdulillah, he had it, and inshallah, it will guide him to good things. But to try to translate that to the broader audience out there, you have to have a special state of the heart to be able to receive that and to understand it for what it is, and to understand it's real. It's not a figment of the imagination. It's not something he's conjured up himself.
pointing out these statistics and showing examples like this, and there are so many, it just repeated over and over. It's to connect with those people who have kind of taken the new, they've made money, materialism into a god in and of itself, pretty much. But when you see, for instance, I don't know what's your take, when you hear something like the statistics tell us that established writers and artists, like celebrities, are 18 times, get this, 18 times more likely to commit suicide.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you know, being an author myself and, you know, having written some books which would classify as being within the humanities, meaning books of entertainment, not just purely books of comparative religion, when you are working in the field of the humanities, you are basically seeking the appreciation of others. And if you don't get that, or if it starts to go down, like these stars, were A-listers, and then... they're going down. They're not getting parts anymore. They're not getting, invites, engagements, roles, whatever. It's a bad feeling. And if that is your purpose, okay, if that's what you are counting as your purpose in life, right? People become despondent, and many of them just simply can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. So that's accurate. I often compare it to the person that keeps getting, and other people who just keep getting to the pinnacle of their profession, and they think that, okay, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to get the Nobel Peace Prize, or I'm going to get this Nobel Reward, or I'm going to get the Academy Award, and I'm going to be out there in front of all these people. And then you get there, and maybe you have that moment of satisfaction, but what you are mentioning, that void, it's still there. Then you go home, and then you're looking around, and you just got to check a paper with, as Floyd Money Mayweather, he likes to flaunt. You've heard of him, $100 million payday checks. But then it's the same anxieties and problems, and it doesn't necessarily go away. But when he did what he did, this seemed to have lifted. He just sincerely, he turned to his creator. But then where do you, he felt like he came back now from this. He came back, Tyson Fury, he said, now I'm alive again. And this is what had him make a comeback. Okay. But I'm afraid what happens now, I don't know if you, I mean, only God Almighty knows the future, but you make a foresight, like it's like we're creatures. We keep sometimes repeating the same mistake. We learn a little bit, we pick up, but then, okay, sure, I'm right back at it. So I'm going to get this championship again, make more money, but still, I did turn to God, but am I living truly how the Creator wants me to live? Have I truly turned my life to the Creator? Have I truly, done what my Creator on a daily basis is wanting me to do? Or again, I've used that moment that he gave me of relief, and I'm back at it. And then I put like the genie back in a bottle when things are not going so good. Then I take, I use God. You know that expression you've heard where it's like you rub the bottle, the genie comes out when you want it. And we use God like that. When things are tough, that's the only time that we turn to the Creator.
Yeah. So, it's pretty much on him right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had the feeling, he's had that kind of epiphany, that moment of awakening, and now it's up to him whether he's going to whether he's going to work with that, whether he's going to make an effort, whether he's going to study, whether he's going to look for the religion of truth, or whether he's just going to brush it past and say, okay, well, that moment's passed, and now I'm going on with my life as I used to live it before. Yeah. That's on him, and I mean, what can you do? That's on him. Same way for everybody out there, this is on you. Each person out there, it's on you what you decide to do with it. If you want to pursue it, if you want to study, if you want to try to draw closer to your Creator, then it's on you to make that effort. Nobody's going to make it for you.
How do you, in your experience, how do you see where, okay, that's one, probably the main aspect, because it reminds me of the verse in the verbatim word of the Creator, the Quran, where Allah, the Almighty God, is saying that truly in the remembrance of Allah, in God Almighty do the hearts find rest. So I remember when I read that for the first time, and finally I was feeling myself before in Jahiliya, and I remember I read that ayah in English. I'm reading it, and I got watery eyed because I felt, I connect. I said, "Wow, finally!" It's not like you're. It's like you're full of, like, you know, because many people, they make these assumptions and they connect weird things to religion, like you're full of, like, say, the Holy Ghost, and you jump in and speak in tongues, doing crazy things and that. No, I just felt this contentment, that anxiety. Even the guy who was asking Tyson Fury, the co-host in uh-huh. the show, he said,
"What was it exactly? Because I got anxiety, PTSD."
Yeah.
Hey, what's this anxiety you're talking about? I got the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that nerve, that anxiety, that wasn't going away. I remember having it, but finally, when I started to, you know, make this transition and get to know Islam based on proof and evidence and took an analytical, scientific approach, and everything pointed to this being from the creators. No way it could have come from a human being. It wasn't just blind, like I often say in Islam, it's not blind faith. We just jump in blindly. No, you do your homework and you conclude with reasoning, with everything that the creator gave you, that this is indeed the truth. So I confirmed it, started living it, and then I'm reading this ayah and I'm like, wow, I finally got that contentment. Right, that, like, peace, it's there. So how do you, would you say, from your foresight, you have that, but then you also have Muslims. You have Muslims, we're human beings. You have days, sometimes you're sad, right? And someone who says, no, look, I'm praying five times a day, I've committed, but I've been clinically diagnosed as clinical depression, I have mental health issues. Because that's a new thing, even amongst Muslims, suicide is in a growing, rampant rate.
I mean, it's pretty much, you know, what I said from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, Muslims are not immune from this. A lot of Muslims feel that they're on the right side, the right side of their creator. But at the same time, they want the things of this world. We're human beings. We're not hermits. We're not monks, you know, shielding ourselves away from the things of this world. And as a matter of fact, in our religion, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this world. But some people lose their sense of balance, even as Muslims, and they start pursuing the things of this world as if they were, you know, as if it was going to save them in some way.
Mm.
And they find the same level of disappointment and dissatisfaction, and it just plays the same tricks on them, back to that description of the things of this world as chattels of deception. You know, it deceives you. You think that it's going to be good for you, and, you know, It's just not necessarily going to satisfy your needs.
Mm-hmm. I've spoken to many holistic doctors also, so we would say this main thing, that spiritual connection, that connection with your creator, number one. How much do you think, in just your experiences, do you see? You have a lot of people. Because, okay, now you end up, we're in the quick fix society. You know, we see, like, you know, there's all these commercials out there. If you have this ailment, there's this pill for it, take this, that, and the other. And someone does go through a little bit of a depression. Instead of, like, amplifying now your worship, your ibadah, many people go for the quick fix. So they end up turning towards pain medications. They end up turning towards the drugs. And now you end up compounding the problem. There's a good article written. There's many who talk about this. This one, for instance, by Peter Bergen, MD, it's called Medication Madness, How Psychiatric Drugs Cause Violence, Suicide, and Crime. Dr. Kelly Brogan, she's also someone who's a very well-known, established psychiatrist. She doesn't prescribe any more drugs anymore. She helps try to help people through adjustment and lifestyle, through food, through natural means. But she, through science, shows how all of these come at a cost. And this can alter the biology, the chemistry of the human, and actually compound the problem.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as I said, everybody's looking for the quick fix. Mm-hmm. And it's not just this. I mean, everybody's looking for the quick everything. You mm-hmm. know, they're looking for fast food. They're looking for, you know, a quick fix on this, that, or the other thing. So a pill is better than a lifestyle change, for example. You know, you have hypertension. People would rather take a pill for that than to exercise, lose weight, do the things that you're supposed to do. Lifestyle changes, which in the end are more beneficial to you. So that's just a sign of the times. And you find some people who are in it for the, you know, the long term, so to speak, and they're not looking for the pill. They're looking for what really gets them over the condition. And then you find other people who would rather just pop the pill and sit back on the sofa and flip channels, you know, continue to be a couch potato. What can I say? That's life. Mm-hmm. You know, as the Arabs say, they just kind of hold up their hand. That's the answer right there. You know, all the fingers are not the same. All people are not the same. They choose different solutions to their problems. All I'm saying is that with regard to this issue of feeling a void in your life, nothing fills that void. Nothing fills that void except for recognizing your Creator and submitting to Him, and then living a righteous life in obedience to your Creator. And that's, you know, that's just in that category of things that people want a quick fix for. They don't want that. Most people don't want that. Oh, I'm going to have to, you know, commit myself to a lifetime of prayer. Yes, you are. You know, but you're not going to get it any other way.
Yeah. You can always find an example. For instance, I'll give one for the people, let's say, who's dealing with, you said, yeah, a lifestyle. Yeah, there are people committed to working out. And you know exactly what happens. People know who are in this area and they have been working out. If you stop working out just for a little bit, boom, you start to lose it. You don't use it, you lose it. It starts to go down. You start losing your cardio, your muscle will start to shrink, it'll wane. And that's just from a few weeks off. So imagine now you stop praying, you start distancing yourself from your Creator, the ibadah goes down, and you start looking for these quick fixes. You start turning more towards the painkillers and the drugs, and then that messes up your chemistry, and you're eating all the garbage food and all these things, not sleeping right, not getting out in nature, doing all the things, the lifestyle. I understand certain things have their place in time, but you're not at least addressing these root problems. You're looking, like you say, for the quick fix. There's nothing quick about that.
Yeah. I'm not particularly charitable towards the people who are not willing to embrace their Creator because of everything I went through. And everything I've seen so many other people go through, you know, and they put themselves, their lives, their issues on the line for a greater truth, you know. We are the creation. We have a Creator, and our obligation is to Him. And they accept whatever price they might have to pay to be truthful to their Creator. Okay, and I've seen so many examples of that. I know anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. And so if you choose not to, I just don't have much sympathy for you. Okay, it's your choice. Do it or not. It's up to you. You know, it's like, look, I'm a doctor, okay? I see patients all the time. I'm seeing patients who are not taking their medication, not doing what they're supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go to their home and give them their treatment in their home, wake them up in the morning and remind them that they're supposed to do, you know, X, Y, or Z? No, I give them the option. I tell them the pathway. They can take it or not. They take it, they will, you know, receive the benefit thereof. They choose not to, it's on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's on them. And it's the same thing here, you know. I think every human being instinctively knows that there is a Creator. A lot of them deny it. They don't want to believe it. They feel it's inconvenient to them. You know, no, I don't have time. You know, no, I've got these things that are important to me or that I got to do. I mean, I've heard people saying, no, I could, you know, I couldn't become a Muslim because bacon is too important to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? everything else in the world that our Creator has given you, and your bacon, that's your stumbling block. I've heard other people say, you know, alcohol was too important to them, this, that, or the other thing. And it just seems like piddly little excuses. But once again, I'm just in the position of saying, look, I'm just telling you, it's there for you if you want it. If you don't want it, that's on you. You know, and I feel sorry for, you know, I feel sorry for people like this who, you know, are on the brink. It's like teetering on the edge of the cliff. You can go either way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which way he's going to go. I hope, of course, that he finds salvation. But if he doesn't, well, that's a tragedy, but that's his tragedy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I often, when you mention people don't want, not wanting to give up pork, alcohol, some of these things out there, and how people would be actually laughing at us Muslims for the person who says maybe he's in somewhere at a family event from his family that's not yet Muslim, and they offer him a drink, and then they're like, ha ha, they're, you know, laughing at him.
Right.
Or like they're trying to, you know, throw the bacon in his face, or they're like laughing. All these things becomes a joke. For instance, fasting. Oh, you're going to starve yourself, and I can't believe you're doing this. And from one thing to the next, I've seen now over the years how, for instance, when you look at, we don't have to get into the now, how many people have saved their health because they stayed away from pork. And you can go on, just Google and see all the health detriments that happen when you go towards eating pork. Just recently, they've uncovered, and I think I spoke to you about this, WHO, the World Health Organization, talks about, again, because we live by the guidance from the Creator, we've not only benefited from these things physically, mentally, spiritually, but we've been blessed to be able to protect our lives, our family, and protect possibly damaging other people's lives. So World Health Organization, alcohol, every 10 seconds, someone, 1, 2, count to 10, someone dies from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, we're protected from that. Who's the joke on? Look at that. And the studies that they have where they, you often hear this mantra about, you know, a glass of wine, a little bit. All this stuff has been debunked. They actually have a new study by The Lancet talking about no amount of alcohol is good for human consumption. No amount of alcohol. Right. And then the list goes on. One last one, fasting. There's a ton of now research talking about the health benefits of fasting. It is just truly amazing. So at one point, people are laughing at you. You stuck with it. Now everything is starting to turn up. And it's shown that these actually were things that are benefiting you spiritually and physically. It is amazing.
Yeah, but of course the ultimate benefit is in the afterlife.
That's the ultimate benefit.
But yeah, you know, there's the old saying that he who laughs last laughs best. And of course, he, she, let's be politically correct. But yeah. And the other thing I get kind of a kick out of is how people say, oh, Islam, that's a man's religion. And I just laugh and say, oh, man's religion, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, what do men like to do? They like to drink. You know, they like to fool around. They like pork. They like, you know, they like the bars. They like the girls. They like the gambling and so on and so forth. All of these things that as Muslims we cannot do. Stop telling me it's a man's religion. It's not a man's religion. It's God's religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's God's prescription upon men and women to live good, clean lives.
Yeah. You, it's, before we conclude, I heard an interesting story because I was listening to one of these motivational speakers, and he was talking about positive change and how it's very, very difficult to get people to change. And he was quoting a famous psychologist who was well known, established in his field, forgot his name, but he said pretty much to get a person to change, some dramatic event has to happen in their life. And I was right away thinking, subhanAllah, the tests that happen in our lives, these things a lot of times, you know, just force us, you know, if you're smart enough that you wake up and take the good from it. But you narrated a story of a man who you would think this is the worst nightmare, may Allah protect us from ever having to go through something like that. But it was where, can you take on, where the father was telling his son about, you know, the purpose of life, about living a righteous life, a moral life, and et cetera, et cetera. And then what happened from there?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing about something dramatic has to happen to change your direction. It's like the old saying that there are no atheists in a foxhole. You know, once the bullets are flying, the bombs are dropping, and so on and so forth, everybody turns to God. And you know, just as an aside, my father was a bombardier navigator in World War II. Mm-hmm. I remember him talking about a mission he went on where half of the people who went on that mission did not come home. Okay. And now, my father was atheist most of his life. He did accept Islam towards the end. But I remember during his period of atheism, when he was in abject denial of God, we once asked him, you know, well, when you were in those situations in World War II, didn't you ever pray? And he said, oh, no, of course not. You know, because, I mean, he was in his atheist time, just in abject denial of God. Oh, no, of course not. Of course not. And we kind of pushed him. He said, well, okay, we'd say something like, oh, God, get us through this, something like that, but that's all. I said, well, there it is right there. Oh, God, get us through it. You know, I mean, there are no atheists in foxholes. And so for a lot of people, it takes that dramatic event to wake them up. What you're talking about was just this man I met who was telling me this story about how when he was growing up, his grandfather used to tell him about Islam until he got to a certain point where his grandfather said, okay, alhamdulillah, I've done my duty. You know, God is not going to ask me whether you became Muslim or not, okay, because I'm not in control of that. God is just going to ask me, or Allah is going to ask me, did I teach you what I know? And I've done that. So, you know, my job is over. So this man, as he grew up, he was watching his father, knowing what he knows now about Islam. He was watching his father, and his father was not practicing. His father was a nominal Muslim, Muslim in name only. Sometimes prayed, sometimes didn't pray, and like this, you know, and could not be brought to the full practice of Islam. And then, just to keep the short story short, he was involved in a horrific accident. And in this case, it was an elevator. He was fixing an elevator, and the elevator got dropped on him not one time, but three times. You know, he was under the elevator, and some people got on it and dropped it down on him. But, you know, because of his body being there, the elevator couldn't go all the way down. So the people thought, well, what's wrong with this? They raised it up and they tried to get it to go down again, you know. And, of course, his body is still getting there. And each time they raised it up and went down, they crushed him further until somebody pointed out, hey, there's, you know, there's somebody down there. And he was describing how when he went to the hospital to see his father, his father was barely breathing because of the fractures of, you know, his ribs. His father was, he's Caucasian like me, but he was completely black because he had total body bruising, okay? And apparently the bones were crushed throughout his body. On one side of his face, the eye was out on his cheek because, not because the eye had popped out, but because the bones had been so crushed. You know,
wow.
And they kept him overnight in the hospital just expecting he would die. When he was still alive the next morning, they told him, okay, well, you know, he's still alive. You got to take him to a hospital that can deal with this. And they said, we don't even know where to start. I mean, we don't even know where to start. And so this man was telling me how he took his father to the hospital piece by piece. They started putting him together. It took a year. After one full year of multiple repeat surgeries and rehab and, he was able to leave the hospital alive with just metal and plastic and implants everywhere, holding him together, basically. And that's what it took. He... You know, after that, he went back to or not went back to. I don't know if he ever did fully practice Islam, but after that he started practicing Islam. He's praying five times a day.
He started now. He turned his life around. He was basically, he should have been dead.
It was not easy for him because he couldn't read Arabic easily. So now apparently he's so committed, you know, he's on disability, he's at home and so on, but he's so committed that, you know, he holds the Quran and reads as he's praying. Takes him about an hour for each prayer just because of his disability and everything else. But that's his level of commitment. And the kind of shocking part of this is that his wife, you know, this man was just telling me that his wife, you know, was the same as he was when he, you know, before he had this change. His wife is, you know, sometimes prays, sometimes doesn't, sometimes practices, sometimes doesn't. And he, you know, he now is this rehabilitated Muslim, and he's trying to get his wife to be more serious about it. My wife just said, oh, we don't need another elevator. But, you know, yeah, for many people, that's what it takes. That's, you know, that's the awakening. And the sad thing is that for many people, they die before, you know, they have that awakening.
Mm-hmm. A good place to start for someone who wants to know more. They have realized that, okay, life is not what it's cracked out to be. I'm looking at this Tyson Fury, and I'll probably never make it to the fame and fortune like that. I have a little bit. I'm going to deal with it. I'll maybe try to make some more. And there's no, as we say, the money itself is not evil. It's what you do with it. And you don't worship it, but you use it as a means to do good things with it, take care of your family, charity, and all these other great things that you can do with it. But at the end of the day, that's not going to be my number one goal. My number one goal is going to be to commit to my creator. But now there is all these religions out there. It's confusing. Everyone's making the claim, all this stuff. When you really narrow it down, you have two absolute religions that come down to it. You went through all that in your books. It's Christianity, Islam. It comes down, you narrow it down. And where's a good place from all your books where someone can go ahead? I heard that you can also download it for free online.
Sure.
Please let us know for the person that now they're genuine, they're sincere, and they want to learn more.
Well, just go to my website, leveltruth.com, or you can go to Dr. Lawrence Brown, spelled with a U, drlawrencebrown.com, and you'll find my works. The books to start with are probably misguided and then guided. They're free downloads from the website. If you want to pay for them, you can get them from Amazon. You can also get the hardcover copies shipped to you free from IslamUnveiled.org, not .com, .org, IslamUnveiled.org. They send free copies of my books and other books all over the world. It does take a couple months to get to you, but if you want a hard copy, that's one way of getting it. So those options are there, as I said, leveltruth.com, drlawrencebrown.com, and
I'll guide them. Last advice, someone tuning in, and what would you give them? They're at that crossroads in life, and that you got their attention. What advice would you give them? You've been through a lot. You've been through this journey.
You have to be sincere, and you have to be committed. You have to know that this is what's best for you, and you have to stay the course. And you do have to understand that there are these two elements out there, one to guide, one to misguide. There is a course of evil out there. You can call it the Satan, you can just call it evil, whatever you want to. That is a power to misguide you. And you have to actively work at staying away from it, while at the same time commit yourself to submitting to the Creator. So beyond that, it's a matter of praying, you know, asking your Creator to open up the path for you, to put you on the path to the religion of truth, and to protect you thereupon. And then you have to do your part. You have to do the research. You have to, you know, you have to learn about it. And then you have to follow. You have to submit.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Brown.
My pleasure.
Allah bless you. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. And let's leave with that homework. All right? You haven't been led here for no purpose. Truly, everything happens for a reason. And that's the homework, to earnestly ask the Creator. Notice we didn't say a human being, a saint, a dead man, nothing like weird, esoterical, you know, you can't like figure it out. It's something that's way out there. It's something that goes with your nature. I'm going to ask the one who created me, created creation, the ultimate reality of things, the most loving, the most merciful, the most kind. Ask the Creator alone for that guidance and start to do the homework. Start to invest the time. And for those who have already submitted themselves to the Creator, the Muslims who live submission to the will of the Creator, Islam, you've testified. You do it every day. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Make that the fuel in your life that gets you through all of these trials and tribulations. Invest in it. Put time into getting to know it, because then your conviction in it will increase. Your certainty will increase. Your love for your Creator will only increase, because what you focus on, where that focus goes, the energy flows, and make it flow into this. Tune in every week here to the Dean Show. Subscribe again if you haven't. Hit the notification bell so you can get the show delivered every week to you. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.